When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she stole a fragment of a stone from an old gravestone. Did it haunt her?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, it really is. And if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can call it in, leave a voicemail at 855-853-4802. If you would just want to write it down, you can do that. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you'd like to be a premium subscriber, get those advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, you can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon. It's just bad karma if you steal something like that, like a little piece of a crumbling old headstone.
You know, I think it's bad karma to steal in general. I think it's always going to come back, right? As a kid, anytime I ever took a little something, it came back to haunt me. So I learned quickly that crime didn't pay, at least for me. It did not. I think for one thing, I have a face that gives it away. You know, I start crying.
I didn't mean to.
You know, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad, you know, and I hand it back and whatever. So it never worked out for me. But stealing something from a cemetery or a grave, now that seems like one step too far. It does seem like that could come back.
Because, you know, that seems very disrespectful to the person who passed. And even if it's a crumbling tombstone, you took part of this memorial to this person's life, you know? So I don't know. I think that could be pretty bad karma.
I agree.
So here is the story. It says, I've always loved scary stories, not the over-the-top movie kind, but the real ones, the ones that make you question what's in the corner of your room after the lights go out. Maybe that's because I've lived through a few of my own. I 100% agree with this person. I'm the same way. Like this, there's a difference between scary stories and the ones that are just over the top, that I don't believe any of it. Let's see. It all started in the same part of the house, a stretch of hallway between my bedroom and the laundry room. Why is it always the laundry room? Laundry room, basements, attics. The first time it happened, I was about 12. It was just a normal afternoon. I was walking from the kitchen to the laundry room when I felt a hand grab my shoulder hard and spin me halfway around. It wasn't a light touch. I felt all five fingers press into my skin. I turned around fast, expecting to see one of my siblings behind me, maybe trying to scare me, but no one was there. The hallway was empty. The strangest thing, the way it pulled me, it was like someone was trying to get my attention, but there was nothing there to see. A year later, it happened again. I was lying on my stomach, listening to music, half asleep, when I felt a hand press against my back, heavy enough to make me freeze. My first thought was that it was my mom checking on me, but then I remembered everyone was asleep. I waited for it to move again. It didn't. It just stayed there, pressing down, and then finally it lifted. I rolled over, my heart was pounding, and there was nothing there. The room was quiet. The shadows didn't move. The weird part, it happened almost exactly where I'd felt that hand the year before. I think as far as proximity in the house, because then it says 6 feet apart. So it must have been close.
Oh, okay.
I thought she meant on her shoulder, but she would be a very large person. That was the night I started sleeping with the light on. After that, it wasn't just touches. I was seeing things, movement in the dark. I'd turn my head and there'd be a shape near the wall, gone before I could focus on it. But one night, I didn't just see a shadow. I saw something right beside my bed. I rolled over to face the wall when I realized someone or something was leaning over me. It looked like a person, but I couldn't make out a face. It was like a figure rising up from one side of the bed. I didn't scream. I didn't move. I just rolled back over and pulled the blanket over my head. I must have stayed like that for hours, waiting for the light to change through the window. Most of the strange stuff happens around the same spot, my room and the laundry area. One afternoon, I was walking through and glanced into my room and I saw a small child standing near the bed. It didn't scare me right away. I've got 5 younger siblings and one of them is always wandering around. So I walked a few steps to the washing machine, threw in some clothes, turned around again. Maybe 2 seconds later, the kid was gone. There's only one doorway. I walked through the room, empty. I checked the hallway, nothing, went to the living room, and I asked my mom where the kids were. She said they were all outside. That's when I started thinking, maybe it wasn't my imagination. A few weeks later, I was sick and lying in bed, staring at the doorway. The light from the hall cast a faint shadow across my room, and I used to watch it until I fell asleep. But that night, I saw something move. It was like a person's silhouette. I thought it was my brother coming in, but it didn't move. It just stood there, and I blinked, and it was gone. When I got up to check, I could still hear everyone talking in the living room. It's always that part of the house. Even when I was younger, it felt cold there, like the air was heavier. My little sister said she saw a woman walk out of my room once, clear as day. And one time when I was about 6, me and my brother were on the bottom bunk. We thought our sister was on the top bunk, so I called up, said, "Hey, what are you doing up there?" And a voice said, "Yes." It sounded just like her, but when we climbed up, there was no one there. She'd been in the kitchen the whole time. Things started adding up over the years, all centered around my room. I always brushed it off, but deep down I knew something wasn't right. Across the street from our house is a little family cemetery. It's old, like 1800s old. And the headstones are so worn you can barely read them. The story goes that the whole family died of some sickness and they were buried together. When I was about 11, me and my brother went exploring there. We were stupid kids. I broke off a small piece of one of the graves and I kept it. I don't even know why. I just thought it looked cool. I still have it sitting on a shelf in my room. Our property used to be part of a tobacco farm, one that used enslaved workers. There are stories that some of them were buried around here, too. It's probably why our land always feels unsettled, like there's something still under the surface. Years went by, and for a while, things went quiet. I moved out, but then last year, I started dreaming again. Every night, I was back in my old room, standing by the bed. The air was thick. I could feel someone beneath me. Right under the floorboards. That's weird. In the dream, I couldn't move. I couldn't even breathe. I just knew there was a woman buried down there looking up. After 3 nights of the same dream, my little sister called me and she said that she'd seen shadows in the hallway again near my old room. I went home that weekend and the air felt heavier than I remembered it. My mom said the dog wouldn't go near that end of the house anymore and that sometimes she heard knocking at night. That night, I lay in my old bed staring at the ceiling, and around midnight, I heard 3 knocks, soft and deliberate, coming from under the floor. I froze, then I whispered, "I know you're here." The knocking stopped. That night, I had one more dream. I was back in my old room, but it wasn't dark anymore. The woman was there, standing at the foot of my bed. She wasn't angry or scary. She looked tired, like someone who'd been waiting a long time. She said, "Thank you." When I woke up, I swear the house felt different. And it's felt different ever since. Even the dog went back to the laundry room like nothing had ever happened. Now when I visit, it's more quiet. It's almost peaceful. So thank you for letting me share my story. Most people think I'm nuts. That's from Rebecca. You know, there's a couple things that I do think you can kind of F with your own head. And that's when you start staring at shadows. And she did that a lot. Like she said that she used to fall asleep watching a shadow go across. And when you're doing stuff like that, you're going to see things in the shadows, especially in a house like that, that has creepy activity anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. I think there can be some of that. You know, I think probably as a child that I
your imagination,
did some of those things too, right? Yeah. That I would, we lived in a haunted house and I think everything was suspect. Anytime anything moved, that a shadow went across, anything happened, it was like, oh God, you know, it was like everything was frightening. So maybe sometimes we do make something bigger than it really is. I have a different feeling about the gravestone, though. Now.
I think with kids, it's easy to do that. You do tend to make a lot of things bigger than what they are. But they also had good reason to, because they lived in a very haunted house.
You know, when we first started the story, I'm like, you take a piece of a grave, you know, definitely something's going to... I feel a little differently now about that. I think that Rebecca felt compelled to take it. Like something wanted to connect with her.
Oh, that could be it. Yeah.
And she took it and she said she still has it. And it was like she wanted that little piece of that stone to be with her. And I think she made a connection maybe with this woman somehow through this stone, like a conduit of sorts. And I think she said, you know, that she started dreaming about, you know, things kind of went quiet. She starts dreaming again about it, which that could just be post-traumatic stress as far as the dreams go. Except for she dreamt that something was under the floorboards of the house. And I would have said that's just a dream from your post-traumatic stress, because I have dreamt about haunted places I've lived in over and over and over again.
Right.
I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm right back in this house, or, you know, saving my children from it now or whatever. But to go back to the house and hear it, the, you know, the knock on the floor, under the floor, now that's a little different. But then she acknowledged it. She said, I know you're here. And with, I think saying that, I think that connection to this, whatever this was, came full circle. And whatever this was just needed to be acknowledged. She acknowledged it. She said, the woman kind of said goodbye, basically. And that was, and now things are much better.
Well, and if her dream was right, and this woman had been buried underneath there, she, it says, I just knew the woman was buried down there looking up or something like that. But if that was the case, then no one knew this woman maybe really existed, or no one knew what ever happened to her. No one ever knew. Yeah. Wouldn't you want someone to know and someone to go, I hear you. I know it's you.
Yeah.
Maybe then you, maybe then that's what it takes to move on. Some acknowledgement.
Maybe.
I was here.
I think there's a story here.
Yeah.
And I think it might be worth at some point, Rebecca, doing a little bit of investigation into what happened there on that piece of land.
Well, it sounds like they did some. So I don't know.
I feel like there's a story that's kind of come full circle here, and it kind of went through Rebecca.
Yeah, because it says our property used to be part of a tobacco farm.
Yeah.
One that used enslaved workers. So, yeah, there's more going on.
I think so.
Yeah. But I'm glad things are better.
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, let's go to this call.
Hi, my name is Betsy. This is my first time calling. I've been listening to your guys' podcast at work just about every day since I discovered it. I experienced a few paranormal things here and there, not a lot due to the fact that I try not to acknowledge it, but a few of them sneak through every now and then. One that has stayed with me for a good while is one that my girlfriend and I used to live out in her pool house, and we there were things that happened there every now and then, mostly to her, but I saw a few things out there, and I always got like a weird energy of being in that pool house. I would get bad energy. I would feel like someone's always there. So one night we got home, and she said, I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to get comfortable. And so I told her, okay. So I went into the kitchen, and next thing I know, she's downstairs in the kitchen with me. I looked up at her. I wasn't really paying attention. I was making food for us, and I asked her, hey, would you like a grilled cheese sandwich? She didn't answer, so I looked at her again, and I'm like, well, do you want one or not? And she just looked at me and kind of smiled, not like a smile like with teeth, but just like a, you know, regular smile. She left, so I took that as a, okay, I guess she does want a grilled cheese sandwich. And so I made it for her. When she came back downstairs, I had the grilled cheese sandwich for her, and I gave it to her, and she asked me, what's this? I'm like, well, I thought you wanted one. And she said, no, I didn't say anything. I don't remember you asking me. And I said, yes, you came into the kitchen and you stood there and you smiled weird when I asked you that you wanted a grilled cheese sandwich. And she's like, well, that wasn't me. That freaked me out quite a bit. I normally don't see things like that, but that was like the most vivid one that I've seen and felt before. I don't know exactly what kind of spirit or ghost it would be, or what it wanted, or if it just wanted to be a part of the day or the conversation. Anyways, I have quite a few more that I would love to share with you guys on another day, and I hope to hear this on the podcast sometime soon. And I appreciate your guys' podcast. Bye.
Okay, so that was really strange. Because when she's telling the story,
we've talked about this before.
I'm like, doppelganger, or does her girlfriend have some sort of mental health issue?
Exactly. Like, you kind of go like this with your hands and go juggle. We've talked about the fact that we have had the doppelganger type spirits where something seems to be impersonating someone, doing a weird kind of version of that, a clumsy version.
Well, like that of one, that person. Like you ask a question, but she didn't answer. She just smiled, yeah, like kind of
in a weird way. It's kind of an awkward version. Like it doesn't really talk. And you go, okay, you know,
it's kind of that black eyed kid thing. They say, right, they kind of phrase things strangely and walk weird.
I guess my question is, she says that she kind of got bad vibes in general from the pool house. So I don't know, maybe there were other things, or maybe it just was a weird vibe that was going on in it. So it lends me to think it was something impersonating her friend, and not that her friend has some sort of mental illness, because she did have weird vibes beforehand.
Yeah, but I think, you know, this is all Betsy, you know, how Betsy feels about it, because mm-hmm. if that happened to me, I would be like, I think you would need to know that person really well. Like if you did that to me, I would be like, Kathy, that was really a strange way for Kathy to act.
Yeah.
She's not normally like that.
Yeah.
But if it was someone I didn't know for very long or know super, super well, I'd be like, I think they're kind of effing with me. Like, does she not know she just did that?
I have known people that are weird that might do something weird like that.
Yeah.
You know,
but she knows her well enough to have believed it wasn't her at all.
Because
that's not even the logical thing. The logical thing would be she has some mental health issue, didn't know she had been sitting right there and doesn't remember it, you know, or a drug addiction or any number of things that would cloud your brain. But Betsy felt doppelganger.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is what your go-to reaction would be.
But I think because she'd already experienced weird vibes, and maybe there had been two or three different things that happened, this was just kind of a little more intense, obviously. I go with the doppelganger. I go with the impersonator.
And I think really I got to go with whatever Betsy thinks, because she was the one who was there that night. I was not there, so I don't know.
She knows the friend.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think we got to go with that. I'm with you.
Let me see. I think I might have one more short phone call.
My name's Catlin. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and I had an experience when I was in high school. I was staying the night at my buddy's house, which we had had experiences there before. It always seemed like it was downstairs before we were at video games, and we could hear somebody stomping around upstairs. Me and him was the only one in the house. So we thought maybe his mom came home from work or something. So we walked up there. Nobody's there. It was just me, him, and his cat. His cat was laying in his lap. So that kind of freaked us out. And we left the house for a while and went to my house, kind of brushed it off, didn't think nothing of it. Well, it was a few months later. I'd fallen asleep while we were playing video games on his couch downstairs. And he had a big picture window at the end of his basement and a laundry room that kind of stuck out and overlapped the picture window. Well, I was facing that picture window when I woke up, and I could see somebody over by the laundry room. It looked like they're kind of peeking, like half their body hanging out. And it was just one black mass. And I could see head, shoulders, torso, and that's about it. All black, though. And I rubbed my eyes out. They were still kind of blurry. And as soon as I got done rubbing my eyes, I seen it, like, turn and dart towards the wall. Well, I thought it was my brother or maybe my friend that was, you know, messing with me or doing something over there. I hollered their names, and, you know, nobody answered. Well, it took me a second to kind of comprehend what was going on. And I got up and went over there. There was nobody over there. The only thing there was there is a door to go in the laundry room. I looked in the laundry room. Nobody was in there. So, needless to say, I was really freaked out. I kind of ran upstairs, and I didn't sleep in his basement anymore after that. But that's my story.
You know, I think that's interesting because we've heard a lot of phone calls like that. Teenagers hanging out at one of the buddies' houses, playing video games, watching TV, and hearing people walking around upstairs.
Yeah, I would say I've had several of those calls that I've listened to where people have talked about that, and so many laundry rooms.
Yeah, so
what's
many.
With the freaking
we were just
laundry?
Talking about that.
Yeah, I think I totally believe him. I think there's haunted houses, and I think sometimes the people that don't live there, right, that are just visiting, get some of the worst experiences. Like, they just show up, and I don't know whether it's because the entities are not familiar with them, and they're checking them out, and they're looking at them, or whatever happens. But we've heard so many stories of, like, I went to stay at a friend's house, and then, boom, you know, this weird thing happened. Or maybe the friend is not as intuitive as you are, and you're just a more intuitive person, so you can see these things and you sense these things. But it did sound like the friend also heard the footsteps upstairs.
Yeah.
That they both went
Yeah, they
to
both
look.
Heard it. Very strange.
So I don't know. Did the friend ever say anything more about the house? You know, I'll be honest with you. When I was in high school, I would have never fessed up to having ghosts in my house. Because who's going to come over and see you if you live in a haunted house?
Nobody,
right?
And we know
or they
that.
Think you're crazy. You know, she's crazy. She thinks she has ghosts in her house kind of stuff. And so you would never fess up to that. So he might have more, if this was a few years ago, he might have more luck now talking to the friend about it.
Yeah, I think he should.
And say, did anything else ever happen to you? And find out more. I would.
Because he definitely had experiences there.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in his head. They both had it.
Yeah.
So if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to become a premium subscriber, do that. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.